The sale of Eclipse assets to ETERP has court approval. NAFI moves forward with changes on its board. And Northrop gets sued over a 58-year-old airplane. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 21st, 2009. Yesterday afternoon, U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Mary Walrath verbally approved the sale of the assets of Eclipse Aviation to Eclipse Jet Aviation International, a subsidiary of ETERC Aviation. That green flag starts what's expected to be a process of 2 to 3 weeks, leading to a formal closing of the deal. Terms are reported to be $28 million in cash, plus promissory notes and equity for the assets of Eclipse Aviation. Questions left unanswered include when production of the Eclipse 500 might resume at an appreciable rate, and whether there will be any relief for depositors whose planes were far enough down the assembly line to have their names painted on at the time the bankruptcy was filed. Eclipse says a hearing planned for later this week may bring some of those answers. ETERC Aviation has said in the past there are no plans to move the company out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, but it has also said that every aspect of operations will be evaluated. ANN Managing Editor and Albuquerque resident Rob Finfrock will be my guest on today's Aero News special feature. Late yesterday afternoon, a public relations firm representing the National Association of Flight Instructors issued a press release announcing that there had been a meeting earlier in the day. It had included the annual election of directors, and that the new board will not include controversial directors Joanne and Sandy Hill. NAFI says that for now, those two board seats will remain vacant to be filled at a later date. While the process to draft new bylaws for NAFI is not yet complete, meaning members still can't vote for directors, Executive Director Jason Blair is encouraging all members to participate. Quote, "While the exact process is yet to be finalized, I welcome nominations with corresponding resumes or biographical histories of the nominees be sent to the NAFI office to be included in the review and selection process as it is finalized," unquote. Regarding NAFI's Master Instructor Program, which has been administered by contract employees, including the Hills, Blair says that applications for credentials will now be reviewed by an interim peer review board consisting of Blair and Master CFIs Gary Keitley, Chris Anderson, Wally Moran, and Tim Lemke. I have a request in to talk with Jason on the Aero News special feature, and indications are he'll be available to discuss these issues in the next few days. The General Aviation Revitalization Act of 1994, which limited tort claims against manufacturers of aircraft older than 18 years, allowed a renaissance among general aviation manufacturers, but there are still attorneys trying to find ways around it. The Miami Herald reports Northrop Grumman faces two lawsuits over the 2005 crash of a 58-year-old Grumman Turbo Mallard seaplane in passenger service with Chaux Ocean Airways. Chaux was the last operator using the type in commercial passenger service and billed itself as the world's oldest airline, with a history of flying famous Hollywood stars and infamous Prohibition-era bootleggers to the Bahamas. The plane in question suffered a right-wing separation, burst into flames, and crashed into the ocean off Miami in view of crowds on the beach. The NTSB ruled the wing separated due to fatigue cracks and blamed inadequate aircraft inspection by Chaux and lax maintenance oversight by the FAA. Chaux went out of business, and the FAA grounded the remaining Mallards and pulled Chaux's operating certificate. Attorneys for Chaux, its leasing companies, and AIG Insurance have filed two suits in federal court in Miami and New York, claiming the antique plane was, quote, "not adequately designed for its intended purpose," unquote. John Eversole, an attorney for Chaux, says the NTSB was wrong to blame the airline. Quote, "Our allegations are that there was a weak area where the wings are attached to the fuselage. This area is enclosed and cannot be inspected. The metal is built around the area where this wing sheared off. You can't inspect it. You can't perform maintenance on it. There's nothing you can do short of rebuilding the airplane," unquote. AIG is trying to recover $50 million it paid out in claims. Also named in both lawsuits is Frakes Aviation of Cleburne, Texas, which is unlucky enough to be the holder of the STC that allowed the retrofit of twin Pratt & Whitney Canada PT-6 turboprops in the place of the Mallard's original radial engines. AOPA Air Safety Foundation Executive Director Bruce Landsberg, commenting in his current blog, calls the case both amusing and infuriating. Quote, "We agree that manufacturers need to be responsible for their products, But is it only in aviation that companies can be held liable indefinitely? It will be interesting to see if the legal system has the integrity to seriously question what I believe is an unjustified suit without running up a huge tab." Unquote. Incoming 2008 general aviation sales numbers have not been without their bright spots. Eurocopter was happy to tell us this week it held on to the title of world's leading helicopter manufacturer in 2008, saying it, quote, "fully met its 2008 objectives for helicopter sales and deliveries," unquote. The company reports orders for 715 new helicopters, almost half of which were for the product family, which includes the AS-350, 355, and the EC-130. That figure also includes sales of 123 EC-135 models and 12 new orders for the NH-90 multi-role military helicopter. Eurocopter reports deliveries of 588 civil and military helicopters, leaving an order backlog worth over $18 billion U.S. A full 64% of Eurocopter sales and deliveries are to export markets. The company adds, quote, "although 2009 economic trends are unpredictable and we'll see cancellations, Eurocopter is confident that its backlog and unique business model should be major assets in retaining its solidity through 2009 and beyond," unquote. Other milestones during the year included first deliveries of the NH-90 and delivery of the company's 50th UH-72A Lakota to the U.S. Army. Up next on ANN, the pilot of a crashed Twin Baron wasn't rated multi. Australian aerobat Tom Moon is lost in an accident. And the Pentagon gets serious about algae-based fuel. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 21st. I'm Paul Platt. Dennis Charles Dangberg had a little mishap on January 12th. Investigators say Dangberg told them he was taking off in his twin-engine Beechcraft Baron from Corona Municipal Airport in California for a flight to Phoenix when, at about 20 feet above the runway, the plane banked right, which he assumed was due to a loss of power in that engine. The aircraft ended up colliding with two parked planes and pushed one of them into a hangar. Dangberg walked away, and there were no other injuries, but he may have more trouble ahead than just a sheepish talk with his insurance agent. The Riverside Press Enterprise says the NTSB factual report includes the following. Quote, "the pilot stated he had amassed a total flight time in multi-engine airplanes of 45 hours and that he did not possess a multi-engine rating," unquote. On Monday, FAA spokesman Ian Greger commented, quote, "we are investigating whether Mr. Dangberg was authorized to fly a twin-engine airplane on his own. The one exception that pops to mind is an instructional flight. If you're getting your multi-engine certificate, there's a point at which you have to fly solo. Speaking generally, flying illegally is an extremely serious offense. Our sanctions start with a warning letter and go up to a revocation," unquote. A witness on the ground also refutes Dangberg's statement about an engine power loss, saying both engines sounded like they were at full power. The witness also commented that the windsock was swinging back and forth between right down the runway and a direct 90-degree crosswind. Australian aerobatic pilot Tom Moon was lost Tuesday morning when his Extra 300 crashed on the runway at Temora Airport in the Riverina region of New South Wales. The Daily Telegraph reports fire engulfed his plane about 10:30 a.m. local time. It wasn't clear whether the plane was taking off or landing when it crashed. Moon was an accountant by trade and was the former president of the Australian Aerobatic Club and was serving as treasurer of the Tamora Aviation Museum located on the airport. The museum's website says he won the Australian National Aerobatic Championships in 1999, 2000, 2002, and 2003, and competed at three World Championships. The Australian Transport Safety Bureau is investigating. Avadyne announced Monday it has recently received minor change approval from the European Aviation Safety Agency for installation of its MLX-770 two-way data link transceiver into pressurized aircraft. The company already holds EASA approval for the unit in unpressurized metal and composite aircraft in Europe, as well as an FAA STC with approved model list covering over 700 models of N-registered aircraft. Avadyne Chief Operating Officer Patrick Hergeth notes, quote, "We can now install and provide the safety enhancements of the MLX-770 on virtually any Part 23 aircraft in the world," unquote. The MLX-770 brings worldwide data link weather services to the general aviation market and is initially designed to interface with Avadyne's EX500 and Integra systems. Introductory pricing is about $12,000 U.S. Support for third-party electronic flight bags and further applications in Part 25 aircraft are planned. General Atomics of San Diego has been awarded a contract from DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, to develop scalable processes for the cost-effective production of algae triglyceride oil and an algae-derived JP-8 jet fuel substitute. That contract could be worth $43 million if all phases are completed. The Pentagon already knows it can make JP-8 from algae oil, but the goal of this 36-month program is to find a way to do it for less money. The program will address algae selection and growth, water, carbon dioxide, and nutrient supply, algae harvesting, oil extraction, and conversion to JP-8. The contract will wrap up with a pre-pilot scale demonstration. Still ahead, Raptors take to the skies over Japan. Mitsubishi will help with engines for the A350 XWB. And plan ahead if you think you'll need a rescue. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, January 21st, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. F-22 Raptors took to the sky over Japan last week. Members of the 27th Expeditionary Fighter Squadron began flight operations January 14th with Kadena Air Base officials. More than 200 airmen and 12 F-22s from Langley Air Force Base in Virginia are operating out of Kadena to demonstrate the continued U.S. commitment to security in the Western Pacific. F-22 pilots will spend the next several months conducting air combat training alongside F-15 Eagle pilots based at Kadena. The F-22 provides advantages over other aircraft through a combination of stealth, precision, supercruise, and maneuverability. The Raptor also has integrated avionics that give it a level of situational awareness beyond any previous fighter. The F-15 and F-22 perform similar roles and employ similar weapons, but the F-22 adds stealth capability. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries announced yesterday the company will help develop the Rolls-Royce Trent XWB aero engine for the Airbus A350 XWB. That plane is expected to become Airbus's mainstay commercial aircraft when it's done. As a risk and revenue-sharing partner, Mitsubishi will develop and manufacture the components for the engine's combustion system, low-pressure turbine blades, and other parts. The new high-bypass turbofan is projected to have thrust ratings across a range of 74,000 to 92,000 pounds, achieve notably higher combustion efficiency, and reduce noise and gas emissions. Boeing recently announced some much-needed good news regarding its delayed 737 Wedgetail program for Australia's Air Force. The company has completed the first aerial refuelings of the platform. Flying at 25,000 feet above California's Edwards Air Force Base on January 7th, Boeing pilot Ron Johnston maneuvered the plane into a KC-10 tanker's refueling boom envelope and maintained its position below the tanker. The 737 took on about 14,000 pounds of fuel during two connections with that tanker. Johnston commented, quote, "The aircraft was stable with excellent flying qualities and engine response behind the tanker," unquote. The aircraft went on to another milestone on January 10th when it received fuel from a KC-135. Project Wedgetail includes six of the 737-based airborne early warning and control aircraft, plus ground support segments for mission crew training, mission support, and system. Boeing has announced that Australia will get its first of the modified planes later this year. That's 3 years behind schedule. And finally, if you plan on any recreation along the coast of England, make sure you notify the authorities well in advance if you expect to need rescue. Britain's 400 affected Coast Guard units now face time-consuming paperwork before they're allowed to take their specially equipped Land Rovers out on distress calls. The Daily Mail reports the vehicle pre-journey risk assessment forms include four questions about the nature of the mission, an explanation of the reason for the journey, details of any risks involved, including current and forecast weather, and planned steps to mitigate the risks. A leader must then answer a yes-no question about whether the risk is acceptable. As might be imagined, the 3,200 rescue workers affected are outraged at the latest in a string of health and safety rulings issued by the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency. One Coast Guard commented, quote, "When we were first told about this, we simply couldn't believe it. When we get a call asking us to go out and rescue someone, we need to go there without delay. Do they expect us to get a full weather forecast before we go out? Do they really want us to find out what the traffic conditions will be? The impression we get is that the bosses are doing everything they can to make sure their hands are legally clean if there's any kind of problem," unquote. This is not the only recent case of red tape gone wild in the UK. In November, the Department for Transport told Coast Guards they must start using torches for nighttime search and rescue because flares might hurt someone. The Mail reports that in August, a three-man Coast Guard crew from Devon was disciplined because they rescued a 13-year-old girl 150 yards offshore using a boat that had not been passed by health and safety officials. ANN has been unable to confirm that officials from the Transportation Security Administration are studying the Brits' new rules to get fresh ideas for the U.S. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN Managing Editor and Albuquerque resident Rob Finfrock weighs in on the Eclipse asset sale. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.